You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today will be a short show, but not a very short show. I got a late start today, so I didn't have as much time and show prep as I normally like to do. I want to alert you that there's going to be a book published, and I haven't read the book because it's not out and won't be out until May 5th, but it's going to be an important book in the sense that it deals with the Clintons and how they've gotten their money through the last more or less dozens of years. Now, I have no problems with people earning a living. And when you're the former president of the United States, what that usually means is you give a lot of speeches. And that's exactly what Bill Clinton has done. And the same is true with his wife, Hillary Clinton. And while we're talking about fees and honorariums, we're talking in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, typically several hundred thousand dollars minimum. For a lot of these speeches are done in foreign countries where the honorarium is about $500,000. So that's one way ex-presidents and ex-secretary of states can earn their living and pay their bills, and people have bills and people need to earn a living, but it adds up to quite a bit of money. And the book, and the title of it's called Clinton Cash, The Untold Story of How and Why Foreign Governments and Businesses Help Make Bill and Hillary Rich. They have earned together over $130 million over the last 11 years. And that's about roughly $10 million a year. And largely, that's for making speeches. Now, the problem is, if that's what was paid and expected, namely, we'll give you a fee and you give a speech, there's no problem. No problem whatsoever. But when do you cross the line? And this is a problem because honorariums or fees for speeches, as well as gifts to the Clintons have a foundation, can be used as a way to pay bribes and make it appear to be, in the case of a foundation, a deductible tax expense, by the way, totally legit. So I'm waiting to see this book, and I hope it has some details in it. And I've gotten a sense of what, there are a number of corporations, and they're all foreign corporations, and people that are very, very wealthy. And I need to say this. I've lived abroad. Some of you have not, or many of you have not. But bribery in many countries is the way business is done. That's the sad situation. In other words, you're dealing with corrupt governments, corrupt people, and if you want to get a big contract, you have to pay a bribe. And there are different names for it, but you have to pay a bribe. 5%, 10%, maybe even more. And you have to give the business to certain companies. And it's done all the time, and it's done by multinational corporations. The problem is that is illegal under U.S. government law. Now, here is the very gray area, and this is the problem with it. When does a large honorarium, disproportionate honorarium, or a very large contribution to the Clinton Foundation, when is it really legitimate, and when is it a bribe? And that's not an easy question. You have to look at what's called the quid pro quo. And that's Latin, something for something. I'll give you money, and you give me what I want. Is it put in writing? No. All of this is usually verbal. Seldom is it done over the phone or through emails. It's a lot of it's face-to-face, and it's hard to prove. As a matter of fact, it's difficult. It's very much hard to prove unless you have an insider that's willing to spill the beans. So you have to do a lot of digging as to, for example, if people are giving contributions to their foundation, who are their contributors? The list of who have made contributions, how much have they given, not only at once, but do you have a pattern of periodic payments? Because this is what you need to understand. People don't give money to former politicians unless they expect something. And what they're expecting is that Hillary Clinton is going to be elected president. Otherwise, they wouldn't waste their money. Now, prior to that, she was Secretary of State. So it has to be looked at real closely, is that the people who made contributions to their foundation and or paid large honorarium for either Hillary or her husband to give speeches, what are they after? It's usually to grease the skids in a transaction. They want to do business, let's say, with a country that United States businesses can't do business with. So it involves a certain amount of government approval to let transactions go through. It requires, for lack of a better word, investigative journalism. This used to be what investigative journalism was all about. Now, most of your television news and your newspapers don't do investigative journalism. What they are is cheerleaders for one of the political parties, and it's largely the Democratic Party. So this book is getting a lot of attention. And I think it's getting the Clintons a little bit nervous. But you need to understand something, and I understand this. Hillary Clinton, as well as Bill Clinton, have been at the center of scandals for many, many years. This is not new. They've gone through this, and both of them are liars. They don't tell the truth. We have the same problem with the president, but both Bill and Hillary have a well-deserved reputation for being habitual liars. You can't trust them. They're deceitful, and they're, in essence, corrupt. Now, let me say this. I'm not a Republican, nor am I a Democrat. And that poses a problem for me. I got up early today. I was listening to one of the talk shows, and I was doing some reading. I kind of multitask because I had been writing a report Sunday on mass extinctions. And the biggest mass extinction was during the time of the Permian. It's the transition between the Permian and the Triassic. Now, I bring that up because when you have a mass extinction, what happens? A lot of species die. And this was the time that the planet, both marine life as well as terrestrial or life on land, almost died. Fortunately, we came back, but it took hundreds of thousands, millions of years for life to reemerge. I bring it up because what I'm looking to reemerge in American politics is honesty, leadership, people that tell the truth. It's not enough that you want to be president. I don't care if you're a Democrat, Republican, Independent, Communist, Socialist, whatever your Libertarian, whatever your political philosophy, whatever floats your boat. I want to be able, again, to believe what the President of the United States is saying. Now, many of you will say, well, you're just being naive. Politicians always lie. On occasion, they have to. But I'm looking for leadership that has integrity and, for the most part, seldom, if ever, lie. I simply do not see that in the Democratic Party. And that's unfortunate, but that's the way I feel. And unfortunately, for the Republican Party, I'm seeing that's the more or less the same problem. Because many in the leadership have been bought and paid for. Now, you need to understand something. The Clintons understand this, the Democrats understand this, and the Republicans understand this. If someone comes to your office with an envelope or a suitcase, probably a better way, of of bills, they're all $100 bills, leaves the suitcase, you better report it because you've just been bribed whether you know it or not. Now, usually that's not the way it's done. Crooks, people that pay bribes, want something. It's the quid pro quo, something for something. And they'll tell you ahead of time what they're looking for. Senator, representative, we want the following regulation, and we'll even give you the wording. They're not lazy. They'll tell you exactly how they want it wording. And your committee, or you're on that committee, or you're the chairman of that committee, or you're head of the House, or majority leader in the Senate, this is what we want. And if you can guarantee, and there's really no guarantees, but if you push for it, we can assure you that you'll get campaign contributions. You see, that's not a crime. People can give campaign contributions. It has to be disclosed, and it's done all the time. The difference is they didn't give you a suitcase of money. They flowed the money through another channel. Now, I think you're starting to get the picture. It's how something is done or structured. Now, you have people that are crooks or criminals, and they've been in the House, the Senate, and some are even in the presidency or in his cabinet, and they want that suitcase of money. and they'll take it. And they'll do their best, actually they'll do more than their best, to make sure whatever you want, you get. Because the people that provide the money make sure, first of all, they know who they're dealing with, that you do have integrity problems. But more important, you're in a position to deliver what they want. Otherwise, they wouldn't be bribing you. They wouldn't be wasting their time. They wouldn't be wasting their money. So everyone needs to be careful, needs to have what's called deniability. I didn't take a bribe. You can't prove I took a bribe. Oh, yeah. The government of country A paid me $1 million to give a speech in their capital. That's not a bribe. That's an honorarium. That's what they called it. They called me up and said I have to give an hour speech and maybe 30 minutes of questions. They'll pay all my expenses. They'll fly me there. They'll put me up in a luxury hotel for a couple of days. They'll throw some parties where I can meet the leaders, the people involved. And then I give the speech and I take home a nice honorarium of $1 million. Sometimes it's not $1 million, sometimes it's $500,000, sometimes it's a couple hundred thousand. And that's done all the time. I've been in a position where I've had to ask people to speak. Now, I wasn't in a position to offer honorariums. And I made that very, very clear up front that we were a nonprofit professional society. We don't pay honorariums. Now, we would pay your airfare if you were coming from out of town. We would pay your hotel bill. We would pay your meals while you were here. But other than that, we couldn't pay an honorarium. Now, on one or two occasions, the person was insistent, but it was usually a nominal amount. I mean, nominal amount, $1,000 or less. I tell you that because that goes on all across the nation. Nothing wrong with that. If you're a good speaker, there are organizations that are more than willing to pay you to come and talk. Very few people are getting honorariums of $100,000, $200,000, $300,000, $500,000. Most, it's in the thousands. It's usually under $100,000. And it really depends on your background. And what people are doing are trading on the fact, for example, that they were in the administration of the, either in the current administration or the last administration, and held usually a cabinet position. And I have no problem with that. People have to earn a living. Some write books, some give speeches, some find another position somewhere, some go into talk radio. There's at least three or four, actually probably more than that, talk radio hosts that, for example, worked in the Republican administration, either as a cabinet secretary or worked in one of the departments or were speech writers. And when their party loses the election, they have to find a job. Sometimes that is in the corporate sector, as an executive. Sometimes it's to be what's called a rainmaker or business development. Your name gets entry to customers that they're trying to get. Some write books, some give speeches, some are fortunate to have talk shows. All of that is legal and people should get paid. I'm a capitalist. There are few things I will do for nothing. I want to be paid for my time because it takes time. It took a little time to prepare this show. And it's not just preparing the show. Someone was asking me, well, what do you do in post-production? I said, I listen to the show. And I try to cut down the length of it by deleting not so much dead air where I have a pause. So I tighten it up and I usually can reduce it by 20%. Some cases more, depending on whether or not I had some long pauses. Now, why do I tell you that? For every hour I speak on the show, I have about 2 hours of editing out those pauses, and I have another 30 minutes posting it to the blog for this show, this companion blog for the show, which is pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. And if you go there, at the very top, you'll see my photograph with some information about the show. And right below it, you'll have the last 60 to 80 shows that I presented, the most recent ones. And below that, you'll have my notes or information for the show, which are not as extensive as I normally have, but I'll be adding to them tomorrow. And for every hour of the show, my rule of thumb is this. For every hour I'm on the air, I prepare 2 to 5 hours. 2 to 5 hours. Let's take a normal situation. I give a 1 hour show, I prepare 3 hours. So that's 5 hours right there. I have another 2 hours of post-production and a half an hour of actually posting it. So to do an hour show, I'm spending 7.5 hours. I'm not getting paid one single cent. Not complaining, I'm just telling you that. Why am I doing it then? There have been books about this, but the important point is this. If you want to get better at anything, You must practice, practice, and practice. And there's a rule, the 10,000-hour rule. If you really want to master a craft, a subject, you got to invest 10,000 hours. And that's roughly about 4 to 5 years of your time. The people that are truly successful in any field, whatever it is, it's not just talk radio, it's not just being a musician or a composer or a writer, it's really almost anything. And people have studied this. The people that really have mastered a certain skill, they're not overnight successes. They're very, very few overnight successes. People have certain talents. And if you have the talent and are willing to practice, you will go very far in whatever endeavor you want to pursue. And that could be sports, it could be acting, it could be programming, it could be writing. But don't think that most of the people that you see that you would say are successful were overnight successes. There are very few. Occasionally, you'll get an author that, and usually they write one book and you never hear from them, that write the great first novel. That in itself is a rarity, but it does happen. And usually they don't have a follow-up because they've had that instant success, and that does happen. There are some people that are naturals. They're very gifted or blessed with a unique ability, and you see that in sports is probably the one area you'll see it. For example, when I was growing up, me and my brother, we played Little League, Pony League baseball. We weren't really good at it, but we had fun. We had no illusions of going to the major leagues, but we followed sports and we wanted to play sports. I also was very interested in basketball, but I'm not very tall. And yeah, I had some skill shooting a long shot, but I simply was not over. You need more than that. You need to be, basketball is a team sport. So you need to be able to pass the ball. You need to defend as well as you need to be on defense and offense. So there are very, very few players that are naturals. I don't care who you are, where you are. Now, the few that are willing to combine that with practice, 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 usually become the stars that you read about and see on television. And if they're not distracted by, for example, alcohol, drugs, women, and don't let their success on the field give them a big head, they can have long careers provided they're not injured. What I'm saying is, when I'm electing someone for a public office, before I even look at their political philosophy, before I even look at their positions on issues, I want to see, have they first paid their dues, but more importantly, do they have integrity? Are they honest? And if they can't meet that test, I don't care who they are. I don't care whether they're right on all the issues. I won't vote for them because deep down I know they're corrupt and they're a bribe away from illustrating that I was right. The problem I have with the Clintons, both Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, is their simple lack of integrity. And there's nothing they can say or do that can correct that. They have a long history of scandal, and it's sad because I think Bill Clinton is a very intelligent, knowledgeable person. Those are his strengths, but his weaknesses are simply lack of character. And the reason it's important, they know that they are running a high risk that their activities could be construed by many people as them taking bribes. Now, I'm sure they'll say, well, no, I was just giving a speech. And they'll throw it right back at me and say, well, wait a minute. If someone offered you $500,000, would you give the speech? Of course I would. Am I expecting that? No. And if someone did, I would ask, why are you offering me so much money? I'm not trying to negotiate it down, but why? You don't get nothing for nothing. There's a catch. And the catch is whoever's giving you an exorbitant amount of money wants something. Gets back to that Latin phrase, quid pro quo. And unfortunately today, many politicians, as well as other people, it's not confined to politicians, will take what is in effect a bribe, but they'll do it in a way that it will be difficult to show it as a bribe. In other words, they're laundering or hiding the fact that it's a bribe by what? Giving either a large campaign contributions or a series of them. And that's one that's done in Washington all the time. Now, you have to be concerned because there's certain disclosure requirements and there's certain limits. And that's one of the problems of law. But, and there's a big but here, people will find a way around any law, especially when they're all lawyers. And the way they find around it today is not only honorariums for speeches or contributions to foundations, but also, for example, tips for investments. For example, when what became Obamacare was being passed, it was clear to many people, including me, that certain companies were going to benefit, and they did. And they were in Washington structuring what became Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act. So if you invested in those companies, and many people did, you were in a position to make a lot of money. And a lot of people made money, and many of them were politicians. Now, what some politicians will do is say, listen, that's hitting a little too close. I won't manage my money. I'll hire an outside financial advisor. I'll let him make all the decisions. Now, if it's truly legitimate, blind trust, if you will, where the advisor doesn't call the senator or the congressman or woman, then you probably are all right. But where you have someone that's actively involved in managing his money, they're probably making calls. And that's when you start to get into a gray area. What I'm talking about today is corruption at the highest places. And it's the corruption of our political system. And it does affect you and me. Because the people involved are passing laws, implementing regulations, are in a position to provide the people that are giving the money with the quo something. And I need to repeat again, the people that give large amounts of money to politicians, they don't do it for free. They simply don't. They are expecting something. You better believe they are expecting something. Usually the politicians are bought and paid for on the cheap. In other words, in terms of the wealth of the person making the bribe, this is pocket change. And this is hard for some people to understand. I used to be in the investment area, and I used to call people that were very, very wealthy. Now, for some of you, making a $50,000 or $100,000 investment, that would be a big deal. But for these people, that's pocket change. They don't necessarily carry it around, but they could carry it around. It's a rounding error. That's when you're really wealthy. Now, the challenge for me is these people are approached by a lot of people all the time. So they're hard to get a hold of. But if you have a convincing story, and that's exactly, or a presentation, however you want to call it, and can get their attention and hold their attention, they'll make investments. And you'd be surprised for a little amount of time, again, if you can get to them in the sense of access to them, and they give you 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever, they'll make some large investments that you and me would never make. So for the people that are making large contributions to the Clinton Foundation, as well as offering large honorariums or fees for speaking, you have to get in your head that for most of them, I'm not saying all of them, the amount of money to them is somewhat trivial, because what they are seeing is the potential payoff. In other words, they're making an investment in you, not because they like you or you have a nice smile, but because you have a high probability of delivering what they want and will deliver what they want. And ladies and gentlemen, it goes on every day in both political parties. And the press never covers it, rarely covers it. So I'm interested in this book. I'm sure most of you won't read it. It's a short book. I hear it's about 186 pages. The author is a Peter Schweitzer. And the reason I'm covering it today instead of April 5th or when I have a chance to read the book, this story is getting a lot of attention in talk radio, as it should. And a lot of Republicans are really following this story. It first was broken by the New York Times, and this needs to be said, and this is not so much unusual. Well, it is a little bit unusual. Apparently, three newspapers, and that's the New York Times, I believe it's the Washington Post. I'm trying to think who the third one is. I'm not finding it. We're given advance copies or got a hold of advance copy of the book, so they know what's in it, as well as some Republicans, both in the House and the Senate, that are running for president. Apparently, there's some dirt here. Now, when it comes to the Clintons, I've heard about dirt on the Clintons ever since they ran for presidency the first time in 92. That's when I started to get educated on Bill and Hillary Clinton and the way they operate. And what they usually do when someone publishes something like this is they attack the messenger and say it's a right-wing conspiracy, it's a smear job, and the conspiracy is on the right, or they're just a Republican operator. And this guy apparently was a Republican operator. So I'm waiting to see the book. Yeah, it could be a smear job. Why don't I think it's not? The Clintons, invariably, when one of these scandals break, and there's a long list of these. This is not one. There's probably at least upwards of a dozen. And I'm not going back. I'm not going to waste my time. When they were happening, I was up on them. I wasn't doing a talk radio show. But I do follow politics. And I was simply amazed, and this is something you need to understand, that they were engaged in criminal activity, but have they spent a day in prison for it? No. They skated. They're very, very, very good at deceiving people and lying. They've had a lot of practice. So they probably will skate from this. They won't if it can clearly be proven it's a bribe. And I seriously doubt the author has that extensive evidence to prove it. He obviously has sources, and he's done some digging into databases and reports and filings, but it's not enough to suspect. Even if you're 100% right, you got to prove it in court, and you always need to say that. You have to prove it in court if you want to convict him of a crime and put the person in jail. Do I think it will come to that? No. I think neither Bill Clinton nor Hillary Clinton will spend a day in jail. But that's not what they're concerned about. Both of them think they're above the law, and they have that arrogance and attitude, and they demonstrate it time and time again. What they're concerned about and how they're going to respond is they see this and perceive it as mud. This is dirt that's being thrown at them. In other words, it's damaging an already badly damaged candidate, Hillary Clinton. Don't forget, she was the one that erased her server that had, what, incriminating emails on it that had been subpoenaed or requested by an oversight committee of Congress. You see, that's a crime. She had violations of federal stature regarding retention of government documents. You see, what happens is, I call it, occasionally I'll warn somebody. I say, never work for someone that has gas. And they'll look at me like, what are you saying? Don't work for someone that farts? Nope, that's not what I said. I said gas. Let me tell you what I mean by gas. Never work for anybody that's greedy, arrogant, and stupid. Gas. Greedy, arrogant, and stupid. Have the Clintons been greedy? You better believe they have. Are they arrogant? Yes, they are. Are they stupid? I think they are, because no one is believing them. They have a serious credibility problem. And anyone that spends a couple of hours, I challenge them. Would you vote for this person for president? Are you out of your mind? But you see, the reason they have that greedy, arrogant, stupid attitude is they've gotten away with it for so long. It is to a certain extent mind-boggling. You would have thought all these scandals by now, at least one would have stuck, and actually, several have stuck. Remember, Bill Clinton was disbarred. Now, if you take your law license seriously, that's important, but not to Bill Clinton. Do you really think he's going to practice law? Nah, he had a cushier job plan. He prepares a speech. He probably gives the same speech with some modifications over and over again, and he's getting hundreds of thousands of dollars a pop. Sure beats working for a law firm trying to get clients and litigating cases or preparing documents. Even if you're a partner and making some large bucks, this beats that hands down. Same thing being an executive. You know, very few executives are earning $5-10 million. Yes, some are, but most aren't. And they're certainly not making it for making a speech. And if you add travel time and prep time, let's be very generous here. About 5 days work, you make $250,000. That's pretty good. That's about $50,000 a day. I don't know many people that make $50,000 a day. And I'm adding all the prep time, the travel time, and the time you're in the city that you're giving the speech and flying back. I don't think the American people are going to vote for Hillary Clinton. She might get the nomination. I think that's a fairly safe bet. But I truly think the American people are sick and tired of the Clintons. And they really are not warming at all to Hillary Clinton. Now, the true believers, and there are people that are true believers, that think any criticism of the Clintons comes from the Republican Party. No, it comes from other sources. But you have true believers, some voters, but also the so-called mainstream media, your news shows, your ABC, CBS, NBC. They will say that this book is just trying to tear down Hillary Clinton. There's no basis of fact for any of this. And I'll be the first one to say, okay, and I don't know the numbers for the foundation, but let's say Bill and Hillary have made over $100 million. I would say a large portion of that is probably legitimate in the sense that there are organizations, usually they're corporations or associations, that want to have keynote speakers and are willing to pay for keynote speakers and offer them a considerable honorarium, especially if you're the former president of the United States or a former cabinet secretary or, for example, Hillary Clinton was in the cabinet. She was Secretary of State. At least in the earlier days of the country, Secretary of State was the stepping stone to the presidency. So I think that a large portion of that money is totally legal and legitimate. But here's the rub. I also think that a percentage of this money is not. It's being laundered through honorarium as well as contributions to the foundation by foreign governments as well as owners of corporations that want something. And ladies and gentlemen, they're not going to put an ad in the paper telling you what they're doing. That's why suspicion is not enough. You got to prove it. So I hope that Mr. Schweitzer, Peter Schweitzer, I hope I'm pronouncing it right. I think I am. Has something to back this up. He's certainly raising a lot of eyebrows. This story is probably the story of today in terms of talk radio. And it's going to be part of talk radio as the book approaches its publication date of 5 May. I believe that's a Tuesday. So I wish the book well. I think it probably will do well. But it has to deliver. Anyone can say someone's taking bribes or someone is corrupt. That's entirely different from proving it and proving it to a standard that it would hold up in court. I think he probably has some bona fide serious cases here. And depending on the details, it could do damage to her candidacy if, when she was Secretary of State, certain things were approved that in the process of being approved truly did benefit private individuals or corporations. If that can be proven, and it's clear, Hillary Clinton has some serious trouble. But that's going to be difficult. So my initial reaction, I'm skeptical. I've been through this enough on past scandals to say I would have thought by now that the Clintons would have been convicted of crimes. They have never really been convicted. I take that back. Bill has, in the sense that he did lose his law license because he was lying under oath. See, that's the problem. It gets back to integrity. It makes no difference what party you are, what political philosophy you are. You have to really ask yourself, would you elect someone that has a past history of lying and deceiving the American people and would engage in activities such as this? I won't consider those type of candidates. No matter what their party, and even if they agree with me 100%, very few, if any, do in terms of my political philosophy. It's a shame. And my bigger concern is as the government has gotten larger and larger, the corruption is spreading like a cancer. It's not talked about. Don't think the people that are engaged in activity that, if not a crime, border on being a crime, they're not going to advertise it. They're not going to come clean. They're not going to confess. But periodically, we've seen it, usually on the state level, where governors and other public officials have been caught. Usually, it's very much a bribe. Now, they'll say, well, he's my best friend. He was just giving me a gift. He's my pal. I've known him for 20, 30 years. He gives me free trips on his corporate jet. We were going on a vacation together. That happens, unfortunately, too much these days. And they're not going to clean their own house. And that's the other thing. Corruption has been with us time immemorial. In other words, it's always been with us. People are greedy. People are arrogant. And yes, they're stupid. And it's usually the stupid ones that get caught. So stay away from people that have gas, because they will invariably involve you in their affairs. And you really don't want to be caught up in their affairs. You really should not be working for them. It's quite different to work for someone that's hardworking, does the right thing, tries to do right by his customers, tell the truth, and yes, works hard but wants you to work hard. That's an individual you want to work for. What you don't want to work for is someone that is engaged in either criminal activities or activities that border on that. In other words, lack integrity, lack character. They're dishonest. I think because Hillary has been in the limelight for these many years and these scandals keep coming up. See, that doesn't surprise me. To some people, you would think, well, don't they learn? No. Why do they do it? Because they think they can get away with it. That's really the thinking. I'm above the law. I can get away with it. And in their minds, they say the end justifies the means. I want to be president. Any means is perfectly okay. And that's what you have with Hillary Clinton. And it's not me saying it. There are dozens, probably hundreds of people that have in the past commented upon this. You see, I made a decision. I'm not going to go back to past scandals. Although if you're a young voter and really are impressed with Hillary, what I'm telling you, you need to do your homework. You truly do. Now, let me say this. Crooks attract crooks. Ever notice that? I've noticed it. Crooks attract crooks. In other words, shady individuals attract other shady individuals. And you'll see that. Now, there's one aspect of this I need to at least alert you to. And the Clintons have mastered this. When they think a person can harm them politically, they go on the attack. They try to damage the reputation of the person. They try to intimidate you, first through lawyers. And see, and this is one of the ways they operate. They hire attorneys, so they have client-attorney privilege. And the attorneys hire investigators. And then the investigators do the dirty work. And that will happen with this author and anyone else that the Clintons perceived are damaging their political prospects. They play for keeps. They play hardball. And they have a well-deserved reputation for doing this, accusing people of crimes that they haven't committed. What they do is accuse you of what they're doing. It's called projection. They try to turn the tables on you. So watch out for that, because you're going to see it. It'll be on display probably in the next week or two, if not today. Actually, I've already seen it. I have a YouTube clip on one of their advisors, one of their political advisors, went on one of the networks, and they know who's safe, you know, who supports them and who doesn't, and was very, very dismissive of this book. It doesn't surprise me, and they're entitled to do that. And this was a clip. It was on Charlie Rose, who's now on CBS. Charlie Rose wasn't there. They had someone filling in, but it was John Podesta, and he was trying to poo-pooing the Clinton Cash book. Well, since I don't have a book and haven't read it, I don't know. Maybe John's right. I don't think he is, but maybe he is. Maybe this time Hillary's right. This is a smear job. I don't think so. There's been too many fires. Too many fires. Too many scandals. And remember, it was only a few weeks ago that in the news, well, I've wiped my server clean of all the emails that could incriminate me. Oh, you think I'm stupid? You see, that's why the Clintons are not stupid. See, Nixon made a mistake. If he really was, he was arrogant, and he's very much like Bill Clinton. If he had erased all the tapes, he never would have gotten impeached, and he never would have resigned. Can't prove it. And I think Hillary Clinton learned that lesson. I'll destroy evidence. Well, that's illegal. So, if I get away with it, you see, I can't be hurt if it doesn't exist. Now, there's something that needs to be said. That's what she thinks. You might think she's smart. She erased it. Ha ha. A couple of points. When you're involved with emails, guess what? Whether you're a receiver or a sender, there's another person involved, at least one other person. And if you're sending an email to several people, there are more people. And many times what happens with one email, it's sent to other people that you're totally unaware have it. Point one. Point two, and this is something that I hesitate to get into. I'm looking at the clock. But the National Security Agency has copies of every single one of Hillary Clinton's emails. Every single one. Did they target her? No. And I need to repeat this because a lot of people just don't know what's going on. The National Security Agency, the NSA, is responsible for signals intelligence. They have, for the, at least the last, 10 years, probably a little longer, they're collecting anything you do over the internet. It's not just the internet, but anything you do over the internet. Emails, send videos, this broadcast is over the internet. Anything that goes over the internet, the National Security Agency has copies of. That includes emails, photographs, videos, music, phone conversations. They have the actual copy of everything. It's not just the so-called metadata. Not that that's not important. It very much is important. So everything. And don't take it personally. They're trying to get everything that goes over the internet by everyone in the world, including all American citizens. Now, some of you are going to say, well, that's illegal. They got to get a warrant. Doesn't matter where they have to get a warrant. That's what they're doing. And they're storing it on large servers. That word again. They have data centers, several of them. One of the biggest, newest one is in Utah. And it's huge. It's huge because every day it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And they're not doing it just for U.S. citizens, they're doing it for everybody that they can get access to, and they're storing it. Now, here's the problem, and here's where I'm trying to alert you. As long as you're not a target, do you really think the National Security Agency cares about your email? Or you paid a bill online? Or you made a phone conversation? No, they don't. Because I would say about 99%, maybe a little lower than that, but approaching 99% of the American citizens are law-abiding. In other words, these photographs, videos, phone conversations, emails, whatever communications or signals you're transmitting over the internet and getting over the internet, the National Security Agency has copies of it, but they're just sitting on a server. Now, here's the problem. If you're a terrorist and become a target, what is the National Security Agency going to do? They're going to establish a dossier or a file on you. In other words, they will search all their servers, and they have computer instructions, programs to do this. They're mining all the data they have and pulling all of that information into a file. All the person's emails, who he has contacts with, who he's phoning, what photographs did he send, all of that. Point one. Point two is this. Why am I upset about this, and why should you be upset about this? First, you have your Fourth Amendment rights. They should get a warrant to do it. They're not getting a warrant. They're just doing it. But if you get a tyrant in office, a person who lacks integrity, lacks character, in other words, a liar, a cheat, a criminal, and power goes to their head. They become arrogant. They become a tyrant. And they're vindictive. Suddenly, for whatever reason, you could become a target. Not because you're a terrorist. They just don't like what you're saying about them. And they make you a target. And remember, they hire their true believers to run these organizations. So what happens? A dossier is built on you. In other words, for example, the author of this book. I want everything you have on this individual. I'm President of the United States. I'm ordering you to provide me with a dossier, a complete file, all the information you have on this author. Yes, sir. And within a day, maybe sooner, what lands on the president's desk? You got it. A dossier, probably a fairly thick file, an analysis, a summary, an executive summary. But every email you've sent, every video you've sent, every phone call. And because the presidents are busy, they'll have analysts go over that and see if they can find any dirt. They're looking for leverage on you. Why? To shut you up. So if you elect someone that has a well-deserved reputation for a lack of integrity, in other words, the person lies, is vindictive, deceitful, and this lady has it, and it's even worse than that. I gotta be careful here. I was looking through some videos on YouTube, and I found one that it was Hillary Clinton in an elevator with someone in an Air Force uniform. And it was the person that carries the football or the codes that the president needs should he want to launch a nuclear attack. And that person has to be in fairly close proximity to the president of the United States at all times. So the elevator is going apparently from their room down to wherever, you know, the bottom floor. And what this retired now officer is saying, Hillary was cursing a blue streak from the time they got on the elevator until the time they got off. And when they got off, it was all smiles and they walked out. Now, I was telling this story to someone that has been in a small airplane more than once with Bill and Hillary Clinton. And he says, I can vouch for that. I've been there. You know, I've been on a plane where I had to ask questions of Bill Clinton. This is when he was governor. And I've experienced that. I've heard that. You know, I'm trying to do my job and get information and ask him questions. And he's trying to answer the question. And there's Hillary having a fit. And he says, I don't know what she was mad about, but she was cursing him out. And then they would get off the planes and it was all smiles. Now, that's just a little insight into her character. Would you vote for this president? This person to be president of the United States, I wouldn't. I wouldn't go near her. I wouldn't work for her. I would have no association with her. Yet, and this is important, who's promoting her candidacy? It's the press. They're in the tank for her just like they were for Barack Obama. They're trying to get her elected. And they know what I've just said in terms of the scandal is true. If they've been around the block more than once, they know this. Yet they've tried to put it aside, swallow hard, and try to put everything in a positive light. That's sad, but true. So for those that are young and don't know the Clintons and their history, what I suggest you do is do your homework. And there's a lot of information out there. Just Google scandals, Bill and Hillary Clinton, and you're going to get page after page of details. There's books, there's videos, there's movies, and you approach it with an open mind, and then you decide whether this is a person you want to be the next president of the United States. With that, I have to close the show, and we'll close the show with America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College.